Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to the History Lost in Time podcast. In this episode, I'll talk about the last series of pre-dreadnought battleships that was built in Germany, the ships of the Deutschland class. These ships served in both world wars in combat missions and were for a while the most powerful ships of the Navy of the Weimar Republic. One of the most famous pre-dreadnought battleships in history belongs to this series, the Schleswig-Holstein, which fired the first official shots of World War II in Europe on September 1, 1939.
The topic of this episode.
This episode is part of my series about German warships, and that's basically all I have to say here.
Political agenda and background.
None.
The sources that were used.
I will use the same sources as in the other battleship episodes. The sources in short: Admiral Scheer, Deutschlands Hochseeflotte im Weltkrieg, Germany's High Seas Fleet during the World War, published by Verlag August Scherl, Berlin, probably 1919, date of the foreword. Ulrich Israel, Jürgen Gebauer, Panzerschiffe um 1900, translation Ironclads around 1900, published by Brandenburgisches Verlagshaus, Berlin, 1998. Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven 1962, third improved edition 1964. Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten 1848 bis 1945, translation The Ships of the German Fleets 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag Augsburg 1998. Janusz Pikalkiewicz, Seekrieg 1939 bis 45, translation The War at Sea 1939 to 45, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for Weltbild Verlag Augsburg 1998. Kajus Becker, Die Kriegsmarine 1939 bis 45, Das Schicksal der deutschen Kriegsmarine, translation The Navy of the Third Reich, 1939-45, The Fate of the German Navy, published by Neuer Kaiser Verlag, Klagenfurt, 2004. As usual, I will fill the gaps with Wikipedia. After the construction of the five battleships of the Braunschweig class, it was planned to build five more ships of that class. However, during the construction of these first five ships, some potential for improvement was found, so a new improved variant of the Braunschweig class, the Deutschland class, was designed. The improvements focused on the secondary armament. On the Deutschland class, the secondary battery was simplified and all guns were placed within casemates. This reduced complexity and saved space. Two of the ships were designed as flagships. Also, there were some minor improvements in the defensive armor. The construction of this last series of pre-dreadnoughts was criticized within Germany because it was well known by now that several other navies had started construction of much more powerful dreadnought battleships. However, Admiral Tirpitz had insisted on their construction as the new big gun battleships would have to be much larger than the pre-dreadnoughts and would therefore be unable to use the Kaiser Wilhelm Canal to travel from the Baltic Sea to the North Sea. Enlarging the canal would be very expensive, and Tirpitz wanted to postpone the expected fight with the Reichstag for funding to another time. Once the construction of the Deutschland-class ships was finished, the Navy began designing new dreadnought-class battleships and secured the funding for the enlargement of the canal, which was done between 1907 and 1914. Before we take a look at the technical data of the Deutschland class, as usual, I'll first take a look at other nations. I will briefly discuss the often mentioned HMS Dreadnought of the Royal Navy, and then I'll take a look at a direct competitor, France, with its series of pre-dreadnoughts of the Liberté class, as these ships were basically built at the same time. HMS Dreadnought was built in a very fast fashion. It was laid down in October 1905, launched in February 1906, and commissioned in December 1906. She served until 1921 and was then scrapped. She displaced up to 21,000 tons, had a length of 160.6 meters, a width of 25 meters, and a draft of 9 meters. In contrast to pre-dreadnoughts, she didn't have a conventional engine anymore, but rather used steam turbines that produced 23,000 horsepower. That allowed her a top speed of 21 knots, meaning she was 2 to 3 knots faster than her potential enemies. That means she was able to control an engagement. She could either attack or withdraw. Her range was 12,260 kilometers or 7,620 miles. Her crew consisted of 810 sailors. In contrast to pre-dreadnoughts, her armament was rather simple and unified and only consisted of two types of guns. First, there were 10 305mm guns. Three turrets were placed at the center line of the ship, one at the front and two at the back. The other two were placed at the sides, at the so-called wings. So the ship was able to fire a maximum of 6 guns forward and 8 guns to the side. Directly to the back it could also just fire 6 guns, since the second to last turret at the back could not fire over the last turret. The rate of fire was 2 shots per minute, the range was 15 kilometers. The secondary armament consisted of 27 76mm guns with a rate of fire of 20 shots per minute and a maximum range of 8.5 kilometers. On top of that, the ship had 5 torpedo launchers. Why the switch to so few different kinds of guns? The main reason for that was the long range of the weapons. When you fight at short distances, like 1 to 3 kilometers, as was general doctrine until then, you can aim directly at the target. But when you have to aim indirectly, meaning you have to consider flight curves, you have to analyze the pattern of fire around your target from long distances. However, how do you plan on distinguishing the water fountains created by our guns? Can you really say that this and that impact was created by a 15cm gun? Or was it a 17cm gun? Or a 12.7cm gun? In order to prevent chaos, it was necessary to unify the armament of ships. Battleships used to have 3, 4, or more types of guns, but they could no longer fight effectively at long distances. Now let's take a look at the French Liberté class. These ships were built between 1902 and 1908 and were in service from 1908 to 22. 4 ships were built: Liberté, Justice, Vérité, and Démocratie. They displaced around 15,000 tons. They had a length of 135 meters, a width of 24.2 meters, and a draft of 8.2 meters. They used conventional triple expansion engines that produced 17,300 horsepower and allowed the ships to travel at a top speed of 18 knots. Here you can already see the differences in size, engine power, and speed compared to the HMS Dreadnought. The range was 15,600 kilometers or 9,700 miles. The crew consisted of 742 sailors. The armament was still classic pre-dreadnought. 4 305mm guns and 2 turrets with a range of 12.5 kilometers and a rate of fire of 1 shot per minute. This illustrates what kind of an advantage the dreadnought had. She fired more guns at a single target, fired twice as often and from a longer distance. The secondary battery of the Libertés was very colorful, as usual. 10 194mm guns, 13 65mm guns, and 10 47mm guns, plus torpedo launchers. It's fairly obvious that HMS Dreadnought was far superior to the Liberté ships in terms of speed and firepower. Now let's take a look at the technical data of the Deutschland-class ships. They had a displacement of 14,218 tons. They had a length of 128 meters, a width of 22 meters, and a draft of 8.2 meters. Her 12 boilers produced 17,000 horsepower, which allowed the ships to reach a speed of 18.5 knots. The range was 8,900 kilometers or 5,500 miles at a speed of 10 knots. The crew consisted of 35 officers and 708 sailors. So the ships were a bit smaller than the Libertés and a lot smaller than HMS Dreadnought. During test runs, it was determined that the engines on all ships produced more than 17,000 horsepower, which meant that they were all a bit faster than expected. The fastest ship, the Schleswig-Holstein, reached a speed of 19.1 knots. The main armament consisted of 4 28cm guns and 2 turrets, one forward, one aft. The rate of fire was 2 shots per minute, The range was 18.8 kilometers. The secondary battery consisted of 14 17-centimeter guns and casemates. The rate of fire was 6 shots per minute. Due to the placement of the guns, the range was limited to 14.5 kilometers. Next, the ships had 20 or 22 8.8-centimeter guns. Their rate of fire was 12 shots per minute and they had a range of 9 kilometers. For a short while, the ships were also equipped with 4 37mm revolver cannons, but these were quickly removed. Finally, the ships were equipped with 6 45cm torpedo launchers. Torpedoes were still a close-range weapon, but they were no longer as limited as they had been just a few years earlier. At a speed of 26 knots, they now had a range of 3 kilometers. At 31 knots, they could travel 1.5 kilometers. The ship's defensive armor was made from Krupp steel. The combat value was comparable to that of other pre-dreadnoughts. Due to the quick-firing main battery guns, the ships even had a small advantage. However, the ships were unable to match the combat value of a dreadnought battleship. Again, 5 ships were built. The SMS Deutschland, the SMS Hannover, the SMS Pommern, the SMS Schlesien and the SMS Schleswig-Holstein. Deutschland and Schleswig-Holstein were built by the Germania shipyard in Kiel. The Schichau shipyard in Danzig built the Schlesien. Pommern was constructed by the Valken shipyard in Stettin. And the final ship, Hannover, was built by the Imperial shipyard in Wilhelmshaven. Construction began between summer 1903 and summer 1905. The ships were launched between autumn 1904 and winter 1906, and commissioned between summer 1906 and summer 1908. That means almost all ships were commissioned after the HMS Dreadnought, meaning they were obsolete from day one of their service. The SMS Deutschland served as the fleet flagship, taking over this role from the SMS Kaiser Wilhelm II in 1906 and served in this role until 1913. The ships of the Deutschland class were concentrated in the 2nd Squadron. Their service before World War I consisted of maneuvers and voyages to other countries. In 1911, Emperor Wilhelm II used the SMS Deutschland to travel to Helgoland. At the beginning of World War I, the ships of the Deutschland class were part of the 2nd Squadron and stationed in the North Sea. Shortly after the outbreak of the war, all ships of the 2nd Squadron were modernized in Kiel. Admiral Scheer describes this modernization in his book on page 105. The 2nd Squadron visited the Kiel shipyard at the end of October 1914 to receive some important improvements to the artillery armament and, in the interest of the crew's health, to restore the ship's comfort for the winter, which had suffered greatly due to the removal of all flammable objects. The ship's hulls were insulated in the same way as was done on newer ships from the outset, using fireproof materials. Staying in the ships, which had become so thin-walled that every noise from one end to the other was perceived as a disturbance, gradually put the nerves to the test, and during the strenuous war watch duty, the few hours of rest could not be wasted uselessly. The memory of those first weeks of the war, when the pecking of hammers and scratching of chisels echoed from early morning until late evening on all the ships of the 2nd Squadron, and mountains of wood and superfluous paint disappeared from the ships, will remain unforgettable for those who participated. The fleet tried to entice parts of the British Navy to leave their harbors and faced the German fleet several times by maneuvering in the North Sea and bombarding the British islands. Cruisers and battlecruisers went first, while the battleships followed in some distance. The 2nd Squadron was part of several of these operations, for example, the bombardment of Yarmouth in November 1914, the bombardment of Scarborough, Hartlepool and Whitby in December 1914, and the bombardment of Yarmouth and Lowestoft in April 1916. However, the battleships never actually bombarded the towns themselves. The British didn't fall for the bait, so the battleships didn't engage the enemy at all. Next to these missions, the ships were used for guard duty in the North Sea and the estuaries of the large rivers, as well as for training in the Baltic Sea. The 2nd Squadron also covered smaller vessels, like cruisers and minesweepers, against potential attacks. During 1915, the ships of the 2nd Squadron were more and more used for these secondary tasks, as the vulnerability of the ships against submarines became more and more obvious. In early summer of 1916, the Battle of Jutland took place, the biggest naval battle of World War I and one of the largest naval battles of modern history. Before the battle, it was being discussed whether the old battleships of the 2nd Squadron should join the German fleet at all. Admiral Scheer describes his thoughts on this in his book on pages 195 and 196. For leaving this formation behind or taking it with us, there were both military reasons and considerations for the sense of honor and the morale of the crews, who wanted nothing to do with their ships being relegated to second class. The exclusive limitation of the activity of a battleship formation to guarding the German Bight, with no prospect of engaging the enemy, undoubtedly had to cause bitter disappointment. I will not deny that my previous affiliation with the 2nd Squadron also prompted me not to cause the ships the disappointment of leaving them behind. I did not regret this decision to take the ships with me due to the benefits that the 2nd Squadron brought. Still, due to the estimated low survival chance, the ships received the nickname 5-minute ships. Due to the low speed of the ships, the 2nd Squadron was at the back end of the fleet and didn't engage the enemy during the early phase of the battle. However, the squadron did see action near the end of the battle. The battlecruisers commanded by Admiral Hipper were evading the 1st Battlecruiser Squadron, commanded by Vice Admiral Beatty, and the 2nd Squadron moved itself between both forces and confronted the British ships. Bad visibility caused the confrontation to be rather short. SMS Pommern was hit by a 305mm shell from HMS Indomitable. A large caliber shell exploded above the deck of the SMS Schlesien. Shell fragments rained onto the deck, causing one casualty and several wounded. SMS Schleswig-Holstein was hit by one large caliber shell. She had a 40cm hole in her side, one secondary gun in a casemate was destroyed, and a section of 4 meters in her superstructure was destroyed as well. She suffered 3 casualties and 8 or 9 wounded. Later that day, the old battleships came under repeated attack from small British ships. Due to bad visibility, it was difficult to engage the British ships. SMS Hannover had to evade torpedoes at least once. SMS Pommern was hit by 1, maybe even 2 torpedoes. The magazine of one 17cm gun was hit, exploded and ripped the ship apart. SMS Hannover, which was following the Pommern, had to perform an emergency maneuver to avoid hitting the wreck. All 839 sailors aboard died. The bow ornament, which had been removed at the outbreak of the war, is on display at the Naval Memorial in La Boe near Kiel. SMS Schleswig-Holstein engaged several British destroyers with her secondary battery and scored several hits on one of the ships. SMS Deutschland and SMS Hannover survived the battle without receiving any damage. Following the Battle of Jutland, and especially after the loss of the Pommern, the ships of the 2nd Squadron were relegated to secondary duties. The threat from submarines and torpedoes was just too great. On top of that, the crews were required to serve on newer ships. The main tasks of the old battle wagons were now training and coastal defense. Some of them were disarmed and their guns transferred to the army. On August 15, 1917, the 2nd Squadron was officially disbanded. The SMS Deutschland served as a guard ship and was decommissioned on September 10, 1917. She was disarmed and used as a floating barracks in Wilhelmshaven. The SMS Hannover served as a guard ship until the end of the war, so she was not disarmed. On November 4, 1918, she became part of the sailors' uprising in Kiel. On December 17, 1918, she was decommissioned. The SMS Schlesien served as a target ship and as a guard ship. From summer 1917 to spring 1918, she was used for training. In spring 1918, she was disarmed and then used for training again. When the sailors' revolution broke out in November 1918, she left the harbor, sort of to escape the uprising, and sailed to Swinemünde. After the armistice, she returned to Kiel and was decommissioned on December 1, 1918. The SMS Schleswig-Holstein was used as a target ship and for guard duty. She was decommissioned on May 2, 1917 and disarmed. She spent the rest of the war as a floating barracks. After World War I, Germany was only allowed to retain obsolete battleships of the Braunschweig and Deutschland class. The German Navy decided to restore the SMS Hannover, the SMS Schlesien, and the SMS Schleswig-Holstein to full working order, while the SMS Deutschland, probably because of her disarmed state, was not restored. The SMS Deutschland was stricken from the naval register on January 25, 1920 and scrapped. Her bow ornament is on display at the submarine school in Eckernförde. Her ship's bell is located at the mausoleum of Prince Heinrich von Preußen at the Hemmelmark estate near Eckernförde. The Hannover was modernized in 1920-21 and recommissioned on February 10, 1921. She served as the flagship of the Baltic Sea Fleet. Her service included maneuvers, voyages to other countries, and icebreaker duties. On May 23, 1922, she was involved in an accident during a nighttime training mission. The ship collided with the torpedo boat S-18. 10 sailors were killed. In December 1924, she collided with a tugboat that had lost its mooring. She was damaged by flooding and had to undergo repairs until February 1925. She was modernized between 1927 and 1930 and recommissioned on January 25, 1930. On September 25, 1931, she was decommissioned and stricken from the naval register in 1936. She was then supposed to be converted into a target ship, but that never happened. She wasn't used in any form during World War II. In May 1944, the Navy started scrapping her, probably to obtain vital resources. The scrapping was completed in October 1946. The ship's bell is on display at the Military History Museum of the Bundeswehr in Dresden. Unlike the Hannover, the Schlesien had been disarmed during World War I, so her modernization was more extensive. She was modernized in 1926-27. Her 28cm main battery guns were reinstalled. However, instead of receiving 17cm secondary guns, she was equipped with 15cm secondary guns. Her superstructure was also altered. For example, one funnel was removed. She was recommissioned on March 1, 1927. Her service included maneuvers, voyages to other countries, and icebreaker duties. From 1932 to 34, Captain Wilhelm Canaris, who would later become head of the intelligence service Abwehr, was the commanding officer of the ship. In 1935, she was converted into a training ship. Her boilers were modernized and she was converted from using coal as fuel to using oil as fuel. She also received new anti-air guns. On her training voyages, she traveled the Atlantic Ocean, including North and South America. The Schleswig-Holstein took a similar long time to be restored to working order. After a thorough modernization, she was recommissioned on January 31, 1926. She received new fire control systems, a different superstructure, and she was also equipped with 15cm secondary guns instead of the old 17cm secondary guns. Her old torpedo launchers were replaced with 4 modern 50cm torpedo launchers. She was again modernized in 1927-28. She served as the flagship of the German Navy until 1935. In 1935, she was converted into a training ship. Her torpedo launchers and some of her 15cm secondary guns were removed. She was partially converted from coal firing to oil firing engines. Like the Schlesien, she traveled the Atlantic Ocean, visiting parts of North and South America. At the beginning of World War II, both the Schlesien and the Schleswig-Holstein were still commissioned, although they were used primarily as training ships. Under a pretense, the Germans had placed the Schleswig-Holstein on September 1, 1939 at Danzig. There she opened fire at the Westerplatte at around 4:45 a.m. on September 1, 1939, and these shots are considered to be the official first shots of World War II in Europe. During the entire Poland campaign, the Schleswig-Holstein supported the Wehrmacht with coastal bombardments. In the second half of September, the Schlesien assisted her with that task. After that, the ships returned to their old duties. During the Northern campaign against Denmark and Norway in 1940, they returned to combat duty. The Schlesien escorted minesweepers while the Schleswig-Holstein escorted landing ships. She ran aground during the campaign, although only temporarily. Following this campaign, the Schlesien was decommissioned due to lack of personnel and only shortly reactivated in winter 1940-41 to serve as an icebreaker. Shortly before the invasion of the Soviet Union, she was reactivated and was used to protect mine layers in the Baltic Sea. In October 1941, she returned to her duties as a training vessel. During the winters, she was regularly used as an icebreaker. In 1943-44, she received a bunch of new anti-air guns with the calibers 20mm, 37mm, 40mm, 88mm and 105mm. Additionally, she received radar systems. The Schleswig-Holstein had a similar career from 1940-44 and was similarly modified. Both ships were supposed to serve as convoy escort ships and support the army with coastal bombardments. The age of the Schleswig-Holstein turned out to be a good thing, since only half her engines were converted to be oil firing. She could still use coal, which was in far greater supply than oil. On December 18, 1944, the Schleswig-Holstein was sunk by British bombers in Gotenhafen in shallow waters. 28 sailors died, 53 were wounded. Salvage attempts failed, so the wreck was abandoned and blown up on March 21, 1945, shortly before the Soviets occupied the city. The Soviets raised the ship in 1945-46 and beached her on the Estonian island of Osmussaar. There she was used as a static target until 1966. Reports that the Soviets scrapped the ship in the Soviet Union turned out to be wrong. Some remains of the ship can be found at the bottom of the Baltic Sea there. Her ship's bell is on display at the Military History Museum of the Bundeswehr in Dresden. However, the Schlesien did see action in spring 1945. She bombarded the Red Army at the coastline and evacuated at least 1,000 wounded soldiers. On May 2nd or 3rd, 1945, she hit a British mine near Swinemünde and was beached in order to use her as a static battery. Her guns were used until the last possible moment against the Red Army. On May 4th, she was blown up and afterwards her superstructure was set on fire separately. After the war, she was scrapped on site by an East German company. Most of the work took place between 1949 and 56. However, parts of the ship were still visible during the 1980s.
A few finishing words.
The ships of the Deutschland class were already obsolete when they were commissioned. The new and superior design of the dreadnought battleships forced them into a life of secondary duties. Still, they were quite active in the North Sea during the years 1914, 15 and 16. The conditions of the Versailles Peace Treaty allowed them to have a second career within the Reichsmarine of the Weimar Republic and the Kriegsmarine of the Third Reich. The Schlesien and the Schleswig-Holstein served until the last months of the war, the Schleswig-Holstein even beyond the war, only ending her career in the 1960s as a target ship of the Soviet Union. The battleships of the Deutschland class, like the ships of the Braunschweig class, turned out to be surprisingly long-lived and versatile.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.